Welcome to Thume's Comic Book A Day Reviews. I'm your host, Timmy Thume. This episode, I'm reviewing, what's-her-face, Power Girl and Huntress, a.k.a. World's Finest from DC's New 52, World's Finest number 5. I've been wanting to read this for a while, and this would be a perfect one for me to read because, I mean, I just happened to stumble upon the one that I got. A whole of is a done in one issue, meaning it's not a part of any continuous story. It's just one comic book. The stories are finished in this comic book. I don't have to buy the next issue to get the continuation of the story. This issue is not a continuation of another story or another issue. It's unto itself. Okay, and it turns out that this story is like an anthology, meaning there's two stories in here, one Power Girl and one Huntress, and there's a framing story there too. And I'm gonna have to kind of give this a no. Okay, I think I'm just gonna have to give it a no, and I'm surprised and upset because Paul Levitz wrote the whole thing, and I like his Legion of Superhero stories. I like all his stuff, everything by Paul Levitz that I've read. I met the guy a couple of years ago at Comic-Con in San Diego. He signed my Batman Superman poster for me. So I like the guy. I like the guy a lot, but I didn't like this story, even though I'm sure, you know, he don't care. This is just one out of thousands of stories he's written. And basically it starts out with Power Girl and Huntress, just those two, are like they unto themselves. Okay, there's nobody else but them there in this like lab. I guess it's Karen Starr is like Tony Stark. She owns she owns all this shit. She owns like a Star Labs type of joint, and she's in she's in the kind of room that I kind of forgot the name of the room that Professor X and changed the X-Men in. And that sucks. I should know the name. The Danger Room, duh, of course. She's in one of those type of things. And she's getting like laser blasted on her. All kinds of rocket lasers and rocket engines blasted at her. And unlike Superman, when she's hit, her suit doesn't stay together. It burns up and stuff. She doesn't have that aura, it looks like. And they're just talking about how, you know, she wants more firepower so she can see if she can withstand anything on that planet, in this dimension, because they're from Earth 2 and they got, you know, stranded on Earth 1, our Earth. So that's the interesting thing. I believe they're from Earth 2. I believe so. And they're just trying to get back home. But they've been here for 5 years, according to this story here. And in the first story, is like I said, this is a framing thing. They talk about some stuff that they've been going through lately in the first story, which it kind of goes seamlessly into, is Karen going to some kind of Hadron Collider or whatever that is in Sweden or wherever it's at, and basically one of the Swedish scientists there, she's flirting with him, and he's trying to show her what she's trying to do is get back to Earth, trying to create another portal back to Earth 2. And I didn't get a lot of this because I was just sweeping past it. It wasn't that interesting to me. and they're getting too involved for just a comic book. Like, they're not explaining what the significance of the collider is to her. But he opens up a portal. He ends up opening up a portal. And he doesn't know that she's Power Girl. And the portal, I guess, is not to her dimension, but it's to like some like apocalypse or someplace like that. So because she's her civilian self, in order to preserve her civilian identity, and for him not to know that she's Power Girl, but yet for her to go into action as Power Girl, she gets behind. He like blocks her and says, "Don't worry, you got to get out of here, because this thing looks like it's about to blow or something." She knocks him out with her finger, like she flips her index finger and flicks him in the back of the head, and he knocks out. Then she throws him on a cart and just pushes the cart with all her force away from the action. So, I mean, she's just an asshole. And she was talking down condescendingly, too, when she was doing it. Like, he was like, "Please stay back, Karen. This is not part of the plan. This may be dangerous." And then she says, "So am I, Fritz." Flicks his head, flicks him in the head, knocks him the fuck out. And she says, "If this is what I think it is, you've opened up a dimension you're better off staying away from. So shoo." And she throws him out of the way. I'm like, what a fucking a-hole. What a jerk. And of course, this generic robot comes out. It's a generic robot fight. So that is not anything to be impressed by. It sucks. She, of course, she defeats the robot. You know, she takes it outside and fights it in the Swiss Alps. And we're supposed to be impressed by that. But the art is good in this comic. But that story was whack. The art is, well, I'll get to the art in a second. Then Huntress's story is better, but it's not still not good, because these are little slivers of story that seem like they last a couple of pages, even though this is a regular sized comic book. Huntress, her story deals with her going to a Take Back the Night like rally with a whole bunch of women, like all you know the type of woman that used to go to a Lilla Fair. Yeah, they're all there on a college campus, and they have signs like "Respect our women, no means no, take back the night," because these are women who's getting raped on campus, and they're they need more security, whatever it is they're protesting. They got candlelight. It's like a candlelight vigil. And the story deals with, and I don't get this, maybe y'all can explain this to me. While we see the women lighting candles and stuff, there's a lot of wordless panels. They're lighting candles, and there's a sharpshooter somewhere. He's putting a bullet in his rifle, in his in his long-range rifle. And while he's doing that, that causes suspense. And and I don't get this. Huntress is talking to one of the hippie girls at the movement. And it's just a nowhere conversation. It's just like, it seemed like they were at a bar, and the one girl was trying to pick up Huntress, even though she's Helena right there. She's in her civilian identity. But the point is, that's a weird little conversation. But This is what Erlana hears. She hears a crack, okay? And people look off in the distance, and she recognizes it right away as a rifle, a sniper gun. So she goes, runs away from the girl, and puts on her Huntress outfit. And she just luckily, she says, hopefully the shooter is slow reloader and a worse shot, okay? Yeah, he would have to be for her to take all that time to put on her Huntress outfit. Okay, so people's lives are in danger. She took her time to put on a Huntress outfit and get her arrow, one of her arrow gun. I don't know how she knew where that was. But she scans the building, finds the snipers by seeing the glint of his gun in the night, even though there's no damn sun. But just, she still sees the glint of his sights. And she catches up with him. He takes a second shot, and you hear a eek, but it never explains who he shot, or if he shot anybody, or if just somebody just screaming. And of course, Huntress takes him out, and there's no explanation as to who he was shooting, why he was shooting, but she just takes it as it's a lot of condescending dialogue about men. She says in her captions, "This is really pathetic. 1,000 differences between this world and home, and this has to be consistent. In a city full of men, there sure are to be a few idiots who think being born with balls and titles didn't hurt women." First of all, we don't know who he's hurting, because when he took the first shot, there was nobody in the Take Back the Night crowd that was hurt. Nobody was screaming. But okay, and check this out. She takes him out. She kicks his ass with ease, and he was trying to explain what he was doing. And she says, "Don't assume I care. Save your rationalization for the police or the judge. I am not interested in what you got to say." And then the cops get him. And back at the Take Back the Night rally, she goes back there as Helena after the cops get this guy. And there's nobody was so told to be shot in the crowd. And that's it. No, who was he shooting at? This is so whack. Who was he shooting at? At least for us as a reader, she could have asked the guy who he was shooting at. She could have let him explain who he was shooting at. But we don't know as a reader. This isn't a to-be-continued story. So she just beats up a man who was shooting into the night. And who knows who he was shooting at. She didn't try to find out. She didn't find out if anybody got hit somewhere else on campus. She just beat him up, said, "I don't care why you're shooting." The cops got him. And that's it. We don't know what happened. We don't know who he shot, if he shot anybody. Fuck this motherfucking comic for that. Fuck it. Okay? Fuck it in the butt. Okay? I don't like this issue. I don't know what Paul Levitz, I don't know what he was thinking. Oh, but let me say this. The art was off the chain. Okay, the first story had the art of the wraparound was George Perez. Then the Power Girl story was Jerry Ordway. And that's the only thing I liked about Jerry Ordway's run on Superman in the late 80s was that art, not the writing. Whoever wrote that, I don't know if it was Ordway or somebody else. I didn't like that. After John Byrne left, I didn't like that. This comic just seemed dry and boring to me. But here, George Perez's art and Jerry Ordway's art is off the chain. And then Scott Koblish did, Wes Craig did the penciling for a Huntress story. And that was very good also. Very good stuff. I loved the art in this comic book. It was awesome. The story, not so much. And it was kind of sexist towards men, but I think these writers were trying to overcompensate. So this is DC New 52's World Finest Number 5. That's what that was. I'm your host, Timmy Thum. Hope you enjoyed your show. Check out the podcast at thumcast.blogspot.com. Or send email to blackpun2000@yahoo.com. Until next time, peace.